This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
We answered all their questions, and as I say, I think I came away good about the session because I wanted them to know, you know, how I set strategy, how we run the White House, how we deal with threats. The Vice President answered a lot of their questions, answered all their questions, and I think it was important for them to see our body language as well, how we work together.
President Bush speaking to reporters on Thursday at the White House after appearing alongside Vice President Cheney before the 911 Commission. NPR's Dan Schur, NPR senior news analyst Dan Schur, joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And what do we know or think we know about the meeting between the President and Vice President with the 9/11 commissioners?
Well, I guess we know basically what they want us to know, that the meeting was cordial, very cordial, it says here, that President Bush easily handled about three-quarters of the questions, so it now becomes unclear why he felt he needed Vice President Cheney by his side. Apparently discussed during the meeting, not much of substance came out, but apparently one of the things discussed was that famous briefing paper of August 6, 2001 that warned of a terrorist threat on American soil, where the administration has taken the position and apparently clings to that position, that wasn't really a prediction of what would happen, but history.
We have to note today, of course, it's the one-year anniversary of President Bush's declaration on the deck of the USS Lincoln that
yes.
The end of major combat of the end of major combat operations in Iraq. Given the death that has continued there, both among U.S. soldiers and Iraqis, has that photo op become any kind of political liability?
Yes, I think you're going to say, has that mission accomplished sign on there, which the administration, the White House, first tried to lay off on the crew, which turned out not to be true, and that has indeed turned out to be something of a public relations disaster. But now the administration has some more recent photo problems to worry about. First of all, the controversy over whether the flag-draped coffins coming from Iraq should be allowed to be shown on the media. Now, some grisly pictures of detainees being abused by military police. President Bush has voiced his deep disgust about that.
We want to ask about Fallujah, which, interestingly enough, a ceasefire seems to be taking some effect over a few hours this morning. There reportedly have been celebrations in the street. As security responsibilities in Fallujah are being shifted to an Iraqi contingent of soldiers, U.S.
Right.
Marines are repositioning, and the Iraqis are under the command of an Iraqi general who was formerly a general in the Republican Guard.
General Saleh, yes. He was a commander in the Republican Guard, which was a more elite group of soldiers. I saw pictures of him. He now has still sporting a Saddam Hussein mustache. Will it work with the Iraqi army that was perhaps disbanded a little too hastily? First signs seem to be not too joyful. As the Iraqi force took over some of the positions from the U.S. Marines, hoping to end the siege of Fallujah, well, a suicide bomb killed two more American troops and wounded six. There's a certain sense of desperate improvisation that's going on. The occupiers do not want a big battle over Fallujah or any other given place in Iraq just 2 months before sovereignty, whatever that is supposed to be handed over.
You're, of course, referring to the June 30 deadline
right.
in which sovereignty is supposed to be handed over to Iraqis.
Exactly.
Do you see any sign of who's going to receive the reins of power?
Well, President Bush was asked the other day who will be running the Iraqi government after the 30th of June. He said, we will find that out soon. So he's apparently as much in the dark as a great many people. There is Brahimi, the former Algerian foreign minister, who represents the United Nations there and also has the backing of the Bush administration. He now apparently has a plan that involves dissolving the Iraqi Governing Council, bye-bye Ahmed Shalabi, the Pentagon's good friend, replacing that with an interim government under a president and a prime minister. And then elections would be held next January. And, well, if that plan doesn't work, they'll try something else.
Let me ask about Mr. Brahimi's delicate condition, too, because at the same time the UN has authorized an investigation, I guess headed up by Paul Volcker,
right,
into allegations of corruption in the UN-run oil for food program, talking about potential billions of dollars in corruption here. What kind of problem does that create for any UN administration?
Well, at a time when a lot of authority is being exercised by the United Nations, at a time when the United Nations delegate is being supported by the Bush administration, what they all need, like a hole in the head, is a scandal, a financial scandal involving the United Nations, which, after all, Brahimi now represents. So now we're going to have another investigating commission. This one is going to be headed by Paul Volcker, former chairman of the Fed. I think we're going to be running out of retirees pretty soon to man all the investigations that seem to be going on. But I guess in fairness it ought to be said that the diversion of the money that was meant for the desperate needs of Iraqis was more a thing of Saddam than it was of the UN. But the UN was supposed to exercise some control.
Want to ask about Israel, where a Likud party referendum vote tomorrow is going to decide the future of Ariel Sharon's proposal for a unilateral withdrawal from Gaza.
Right.
There was a large demonstration in Gaza amongst Israeli settlers opposed to that plan, and recent polls are showing decreased support for his idea.
That's right.
What happens if Mr. Sharon loses the vote, and for that matter, what happens if he wins it?
That's a very complicated situation. If he wins it, he will go ahead and do it, no matter what a lot of people may think. If he loses it, it is a strange situation. Here is a plan for withdrawal from Gaza, making permanent some Jewish settlements on the West Bank. And he calls an election. No, he calls a referendum. He says if he loses the referendum, well, then he may be forced out of government or forced to call an election. It is somewhat ironic that the Sharon plan, which is supported by President Bush and openly supported by President Bush, is not necessarily supported by the members of Sharon's own party.
And let me ask you finally some political questions. Both Senator Kerry, the presumptive Democratic nominee, and Vice President Cheney.
Politics? Isn't that unseemly? Go ahead.
some weeks it is. I mean, many weeks it is. Both Senator Kerry and Vice President Cheney spoke at Westminster College in Missouri this week.
Yes.
Initially, only the Vice President had been scheduled to speak, but he gave a speech that the President of Westminster found partisan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, Senator Kerry was invited. What do you make about their separate appearances?
Now, you want to say this is the college where Winston Churchill delivered his famous Iron Curtain speech. So everybody likes to speak there in Fulton, Missouri.
And about foreign policy.
And I think that Vice President Cheney made a tactical error in taking this invitation for a big explanation of foreign policy and using it to attack Senator Kerry, whereupon the college decided that Kerry should have equal time. They gave him equal time. I'm not sure that the two speeches advanced the cause of knowledge any too much. Cheney attacked what he called a contradictory vote pattern by Kerry in the Senate. Kerry attacked the way they've been carrying out this whole occupation and said they have a last chance to get it right, and he wants to have it turned over to a more international group, NATO maybe, UN maybe, and so on. There is a certain looseness about all of this in which they don't seem to be really joining the issue. And you sort of wonder, when will we really know what's really going on?
Thanks, Dan Shore.